score. She's down to her final shot here. Can you believe it? The American Ninja Warrior podcast starts now.
You're listening to the American Ninja Warrior podcast with your host, Nikki Lee. I'm also the editor of ANWNation.com. Today's episode takes a look back at the Seattle-Tacoma City Finals with fan favorite competitor Megan Martin. Akbar Bajabiamila is going to kick things off with a quick rundown on what's coming up in our chat with Megan.
The Seattle-Tacoma City Finals course was brutal. It was the first time this season we saw zero finishers. We also saw some early exits that we weren't ready for. One of the superstars heading home after that episode is Megan Martin. Season 11 was Megan's sixth season on American Ninja Warrior, and she competed at the national finals for all five of her previous seasons, making her exit even more shocking. Today on the American Ninja Warrior podcast, Megan updates us on how she feels about not attending the national finals this year. But just like the Megan we know and love, she's making the most of it and pursuing a crazy cool goal in her new career.
Hi, Megan. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. So happy to be here.
How are you feeling after the Seattle-Tacoma experience that you had? It was a lot to take in. Different schedule, different environment, different things going on. What was your overall impression of that setup?
I think that the setup was pretty cool. I think filming in the day was nice in a sense. I'm not really a morning person, though, so getting up early for a call time wasn't necessarily ideal. I don't know. Also, it's just different, you know, after doing it for so many years outside in the dark, just kind of a different atmosphere. I do think everything ran a lot smoother time-wise. Like, you don't have to worry about weather, which was really nice. But yeah, I don't know. It's just different for sure.
Your runs in Seattle and Tacoma, how did those feel? How did those go for you?
I mean, I thought my runs went horribly, which is fine. I mean, that kind of thing happens. The first night I was really out of sorts for sure, because when I started the run, basically starting at the second obstacle, it was like I was doing too much and it was like throwing things off. Like I was trying to swing too hard when I didn't need to, and things were just kind of a little out of whack from the beginning. So it kind of threw off my mental a little bit. Once I got through the balance, I was like, cool, I guess, you know, at least I've made it through that. And now I'm going to do the fifth obstacle, which I wasn't really super worried about. But then the bar fell into the notch and then popped out afterwards, which was kind of a shock and definitely very disappointing. That was, you know, something I could work on. So then when I did the run in the city finals, I fixed all the stuff at the beginning of the course, which was great. And then when I approached the fifth obstacle, I was like in my head, okay, do a little less this time. Don't swing as much. Don't use too much power because it's a little finicky. So I did that and it worked on the first part. And then when I went to do it the second time, I got a little off track. And when I went to fix it, it kind of fell apart. You know, one of those things where obstacles are just a little finicky and you try to fix it and assess after you've failed it the first time, which I think I did a good job of doing. It just still didn't work very well. And I think it's kind of like by chance, just shows you how finicky obstacles can be. But I will say, like, just this whole season, this was a big assessment of just, you know, listening to my body, because going into this, I was already not feeling very confident, which confidence is very key in this sport, I would say. And I didn't really feel like myself, especially in the qualifier run. I felt scared and unsure of what my body could do. So it was kind of a good eye opener to maybe listen to my body more and take the steps that I needed to take in order to heal myself, because going into something with a lower body injury when the course is so lower body intensive was just kind of not the right mindset to have to go into such a big competition. And I do think not making it to the wall was a blessing in disguise both nights, because I could have possibly ruptured my hamstring instead of just dealing with this tear. So probably all worked out for the best.
Can you tell us more about the injury you were dealing with that night?
So I've had a hamstring tear since October, and I didn't know it was a tear until around February. I thought it was just a strain I recently moved, so I didn't have my normal doctors and rehab people. When you move, obviously finding all those people is a little more difficult than when you've been in a place for 6 years. So once I figured that out, I was honestly on the fence about doing this season because I wasn't sure if it was a good idea. And I kept telling people, like, I don't know, maybe I'll get there and maybe I just won't even run. I am not sure. And then once I got there, I obviously was like, well, I guess I'll just run. Why wouldn't I? And I wasn't even allowed to try a wall until like the week of the Seattle Tacoma qualifier. I just never really trusted myself as much. And I was doing everything I could, but I just needed more time. I needed a break. I didn't have time for a break. And, you know, what happened in Tacoma gave me that opportunity to have a time for a break. And I went and got PRP injections into my hamstring in four different places because I have a tear in the actual hamstring muscle. And then at the tendon attachment, there's a tear as well. It was actually a good thing to be able to take that time and go get that injection. And I mean, I'm still healing right now. I'm not even allowed to really do much, which is kind of boring. And it's just I've been so blessed as an athlete to not have had to take many breaks. So I guess it's just my time to take a break.
How is that affecting your athletic career beyond Ninja Warrior? Because anyone who's seen the show knows that you're a professional rock climber and you're always jet setting all over the world to do things like that. Is the injury impeding that a bit this year as well?
With climbing, I can luckily still train my upper body, which is really nice, which also would help with Ninja. But yeah, I definitely can't do any of the competitions that maybe I'd want to do right now. Or go outside and climb. But it definitely is hard to not be able to do stuff you do on a daily basis. And I don't know. Also, I was like on crutches for 2 weeks, which isn't that long, but it was so weird. Just little things you take for granted, being healthy and being able to be so active. It was kind of a crazy experience, honestly.
So you had mentioned that you had started to focus a bit more on work in front of the camera. So tell us about your goals moving into commentating different competitions. What's going on with that?
So that is another way in which my hamstring actually kind of helped me make a couple decisions that were going to maybe be harder decisions, because USA Climbing actually put out a application to find a new color commentator for this season of their national events. And during last fall, I was dealing with this injury and not sure if I wanted to compete in nationals and whatnot. And I'd always wanted to commentate, but it's kind of a hard decision as an athlete to make. It's like, wait, do I want to not be able to go to nationals and not be able to do World Cups, or do I want to commentate? It was kind of difficult because I do enjoy those competitions and I've done them for so long now. So to say goodbye to those is kind of a hard decision to make. But with the injury, it made it a little easier because I don't want to go to those competitions if I can't be 100%, because I mean, it's difficult. It's a lot of competition. There's a lot of other strong athletes. So to be going into those where you're not 100%, it becomes frustrating as you're competing. I was able to make that decision and apply for the job, and then I got it. And I didn't know at the time, but they had partnered with ESPN. So that meant that when I started commentating, I'd be working with the show to be on ESPN 2 and 3, which was like a huge deal because before there was a different production company that was doing all those competitions. So it ended up being a great decision for me, because even a couple years ago, when we figured out climbing was likely to be in the Olympics, I didn't really want to be competing in the Olympics. I was already thinking like, oh, it'd be so cool to be able to commentate. So knowing that commentating at the Olympics has been a goal of mine is kind of the perfect opportunity to commit to commentating for USA Climbing and ESPN and get some practice there, you know, over a year away from the Olympics, so that when the whole Olympic thing comes around, I actually have experience and I've worked at the high level competitions as a commentator. And you know, it's just good practice.
So how many competitions have you commentated to this point?
I've commentated for three different competitions. We have four planned for the upcoming year.
When you first went in front of the camera, did you have any nerves? Did it feel natural? What was that feeling like?
I absolutely love being in front of the camera. And what's tricky about it is I've been in front of the camera in a lot of different ways, especially starting with Ninja Warrior. I've done so many interviews by being interviewed, not by actually interviewing other people. And then I've done other like hosting jobs where it's like live for like TV and radio. And then I've done things where it's a teleprompter. So there's all these different things I've done. But what I was doing was something I hadn't really done before. I'd commentated a couple of times as like a guest commentator at a competition. But the way ESPN ran their production, it was so professional, as you would assume it would be. And we had an open that we would do every time, which was on camera. And then I interviewed the athletes after each round. I would interview the winner. So those are things that I hadn't really done in that capacity before with another person. Like anytime I had done anything live, it was just me talking about stuff. So it was definitely nerve-wracking the night before, not necessarily being on camera, but just the new flow. I feel like whenever you do a job like that, it's like about the flow. Once you understand it, it makes sense and you're not as worried. But the night before, I didn't sleep. I was petrified. I was like, what if I mess up? Oh no, like this could be terrible. I'm supposed to know all this information about climbing, which I do. And once I started talking, it made sense. But you know, you just kind of freak out the night before, running through your head with all these ideas of what could possibly happen just because you don't understand the flow. But once I got the flow, then it was fine.
Right. It seems like such a perfect fit for you, obviously, with your experience with rock climbing and your experience with, you know, media, even just from what we know on American Ninja Warrior. But you said you love being in front of the camera. Where does that come from? Is that something that's been with you for a long time in your life?
Yeah, I would say I've always liked performing. I feel like my first sport that I did was gymnastics, which has a lot of performance elements with the dance and choreography that's involved in like the floor exercise and the balance beam. And then I've always been interested in acting. Like as a kid, my sister and I would memorize dances and songs from musicals and perform them in the living room. I would just memorize monologues for no reason, just to have them memorized and practice them. I took classes in high school and college, acting classes, drama. I did an improv class in high school. That was so much fun. But I've always been an athlete. So that was like my number one. And that's how I went to college. I had a scholarship as a pole vaulter. So that was my job. Because if I could have, I totally would have majored in like theater.
Really?
Oh, for sure. But I didn't have the time. That's like having two jobs. You have to have all that out of class time to be able to dedicate to that. And I already had my dedication promised to pole vaulting. So I wasn't really able to do that. But it's always been something that's interested me. I love movies and television. I probably watch too much of it. But I feel like I'm watching it like in a learning or as an education tool for myself for that one time I get a shot.
So what is it about being in front of an audience, whether it's through, you know, you've performed rock climbing at a high level, you've performed plays for your sisters and friends. Mm-hmm. What is it about performance that appeals to you, that kind of gives you that fire for it?
I think it's very different from athletics to any kind of acting. But with athletics, I think having an audience is motivating. I think it's fun to be able to perform in front of people. Obviously, it can be a little challenging at times because, you know, it's great when everything's going well. But I have to say, in those moments where you're struggling, that can be a little bit difficult. Like I've said this so many times about climbing competitions, because generally we have about 5 minutes to try and figure out a climb. And it's like, if in those 5 minutes, if you're falling off the start for 5 minutes, all you want to do is kind of like crawl under a rock and like disappear, but you can't. You're just out there for 5 minutes trying to like stay positive and get through it, which I think is always like a good learning experience, but it's obviously better when things are going smoothly in front of a crowd. But with acting and stuff, I think what draws me to that is just the imagination that's involved, and that you're like playing a character and you get to be somebody else. And I don't know, I just, in life, I like to have fun and play. So it kind of makes sense to me to be able to like do it in that kind of way, which is cool.
Where do you see American Ninja Warrior kind of falling between those two things you just mentioned, between athletic competitions and acting, in the sense of there's, you know, TV production and cameras and you need to do interviews before and after? So where does Ninja Warrior fall on that spectrum for you?
I still think it falls into the athletic realm, because at the end of the day, it's still a competition where you don't get to practice any of it. Though there are a lot of the TV production sides of it, it still, I think, comes down to being a competition. So I guess it would depend on who you ask. Like for me, maybe that's why I enjoy the interview process, is because that stuff is fun for me to be able to be in an interview and be on camera. But for some people, maybe that's stressful for them. Whereas I feel like when I get up on the starting block, I feel more terrified then, just for that moment where you're standing there, because like you're just kind of standing there and you're about to do something and you don't know how it's going to feel. And like, once you start, you feel a lot better. But I feel like that is the same kind of feeling I feel in a climbing competition. It's like that fear of the unknown for a moment. And you're like, and then you start and you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. It's totally fine. I'm having a good time. But yeah, it seems, American Ninja Warrior definitely seems like more of a competition to me than it would relate to acting.
Or right.
If it was all rehearsed, that would be completely different.
No rehearsals.
Could you imagine? It's rehearsed. Oh, perfect.
So you said your big goal is to commentate for rock climbing at the upcoming Olympics. When would you know more about that? And what's the process that you have to go through to put yourself really forward for that role?
I think I would know by the spring, I believe. But I think I've already started the process of putting myself in a position to possibly be picked for that role, having commentated at the competitions that I have already. And then moving forward, going again through those same competitions this year, and then hopefully being able to commentate at the Continental Championships that they have for as one of the stops to pick who could possibly be on the Olympic team. So just the more that I do with all of that stuff, it'll just, honestly, like, I don't have a lot to do with it. I think I've already taken those steps that I need to take, and then it's up to whoever decides how it all works. I feel like there's so many moving parts because it is a new sport too. And obviously, NBC is the one who rules the Olympics, which is awesome. I mean, it's great that I've already been on NBC. I don't think that helps at all, right?
Yeah, that helps.
Hopefully it helps. I guess, who knows, but hopefully it helps. But yeah, I don't honestly know much about how the higher-ups pick all of that, or how they decide what sport gets what, you know? I just know that I love rock climbing. I've competed in it for so long. I know the athletes. I just want everybody to grow to love our sport, or grow to love climbing as much as I do. And if I can be the person who talks about it during the Olympics when everyone's watching, that would be awesome.
Do you find it frustrating or different to be in a process where your goal is kind of out of your hands? Whereas in athletics, if you've got a goal, you know the steps distinctively that you need to get to that goal. And then you know the results pretty clearly as well. Whereas something like this is more obscure, out of your control. Do you find that to be something that's hard to adjust to?
I don't think it's so hard to adjust to, Because I feel like at certain times, athletics, it is out of your control too, because things just happen. No matter how prepared you are, things happen all the time. So I think being an athlete, I've learned how to deal with failure because it happens all the time, and disappointment too. So you kind of, it's the same kind of mindset. I'm going to do everything I can to put myself in the position to hopefully be chosen. But if it doesn't happen, obviously I'll be disappointed. But at least I got to do the commentating that I did do, and hopefully continue to do it. And then maybe something else will come along. Just kind of keep a positive outlook with it.
And right.
Yeah, there's really, I mean, like you said, it's pretty much out of my control. So it's just do every, I know that I've done everything that I can do. So
as you're stepping into this new role and commentating and building up your resume in this sense, do you find that it feels like building new muscles almost to excel in this field? Have you found any learning curve, things that are drastically different that you're working on?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely like building new muscles. There, I mean, the biggest muscle you have to build, I think, is being able to talk and listen to somebody at the same time while you're talking on live TV. I think that's definitely a difficult thing to do. By being mid-sentence and then having someone tell you something really quick and not making it obvious to the audience that someone's talking in your ear. I think that's a really important skill to get used to. And then also I've noticed with commentating, it's learning when to not say things as well. You don't need to be talking the entire time. So yeah, here and there, I feel like at every event that I commentated at, I felt like I learned something. So it's just the same kind of thing with being an athlete, whereas like at every competition, you would learn something on how to approach it better and be more successful. That's the same way with commentating. If there was something that, you know, didn't work 100%, maybe I look into it and fix it. Or even if something was good, things can always be better. Just really paying attention. And I think that as an athlete, we are taught to really critique ourselves and just always figure out how we can be better, because no matter how good you are, someone else could always be better than you. So it's the same kind of thing where you go back and you look at all of the ways that you were successful or how you were unsuccessful and just try to grow and become better.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to develop a Matt and Akbar style commentating personality?
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Are you gonna come up with a trademark yell?
I'm not sure climbing competitions warrant that, because it is, see, that's where an American Ninja Warrior is more of a TV show on the commentator side, right? Because it is more about like being big and exciting. Not that, you know, live sports isn't, but it's just a little different, I would say. I feel like it's more dramatic. There's more room for the drama of it all in American Ninja Warrior. But yeah, maybe I'll come up with something though.
That would be very interesting.
Maybe I'll have an Instagram of Meganisms like Akbar.
Yeah, it could bring a whole new audience to rock climbing just to see what you have to say about it.
Oh my goodness. That would be hilarious.
As you're working on this goal, and you're obviously you're rehabbing your injury right now, what do you think that spells for your future for American Ninja Warrior?
I mean, I hope that next year I'm just 100% healthy and I can, you know, come back stronger and smarter. It's not always about just being stronger. It's about being smarter too. But yeah, I do think that I would not like to go out on a year like that. So I definitely want to compete again next year, and hopefully everything is working. All of my injuries will be gone and I can just have fun and do well again. That would be great.
So moving towards this new goal does not mean your retirement from Ninja Warrior.
No, I would only retire from Ninja Warrior if they wanted to have me as the sideline host.
Just tossing that out there.
You know, Zuri is awesome. I really like her, but I know they're not looking now, but when they were looking, I was hoping that I was hoping that I would be taken into consideration, but you know, so whenever she's ready to retire, I'll retire.
There you go. There you go. It can work in unison. I love that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that run that we saw in the Seattle-Tacoma City Finals was the end of the season because competition was really stiff in Tacoma. So how does it feel to kind of be wrapping up your Ninja Warrior season a little earlier than you probably would have liked?
I mean, for me, I think it's just it's a good thing just because now I have the time to heal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like if I hadn't been injured, I would have definitely, first of all, gone to Vegas if I wasn't injured. Anyway, just to like be supportive and test and all of that fun stuff. But yeah, I think I'm okay with it just because I clearly needed this time. I think I would have preferred to listen to my body earlier and not have to have gone through that. But you live and you learn. So
are you saying that on hindsight, you kind of wish maybe you had taken the season off for your injury?
Definitely in hindsight, I wish I would have taken the season off. Hindsight's 2020, so.
Right. Yeah,
it is what it is. So I'm just thankful that I didn't have a major rupture happen. I mean, that's what's scary, I think, about with tendons and ligaments. You just never know because it's so different from a break. I think we just saw that with like Kevin Durant. Like getting back into the game too early and rupturing his Achilles, like that's devastating. So got to listen to your body and sometimes take a step back, even though, you know, I always want to be involved in everything. And Ninja Warrior is so much fun for me and playing on obstacles and seeing all my friends. So it's better just to maybe not be going 100 miles an hour all the time.
Yeah. And that's important for the audience to see too. I mean, we look at American Ninja Warriors as almost our superheroes. And it's a reminder that you guys are all athletes. You all have human bodies that, you know, you have an athletic career and your body changes throughout that career and needs different things at different times.
Totally. And it is hard because when you're enjoying something, you don't want to stop doing it. And I think also as an athlete to take time off is just a scary thing because you're so used to living your life a certain way and doing kind of the same training stuff every week and like obviously switching it up accordingly, but, and just being active, like I'm not going to lie, it's like kind of scary knowing that I'm not doing all the things I'm normally doing. So then I have to like maybe pay more attention to how I'm even eating, you know, like maybe I can't have ice cream every night now, unfortunately. Whereas before it didn't matter because I worked out so much. So who cares?
Right. Yeah. So it's a huge adjustment. And for someone as active as you are, I imagine, like you were saying earlier, just being on crutches for 2 weeks just feels like a huge mental game change.
So, I mean, I've never been so thankful to have a healthy body and like to be able to go and do things when you want to do them. Because I just remember one day being at Target and being like, oh, I need this cleaning supply. Oh, it's at the other end of the store. Forget it. I'll just use paper towels. It's fine. It's just the littlest things. I would have never thought about that before because I'm so used to being able to walk everywhere. It must be very different if that's like your everyday. And I'm just so thankful that I have my legs to walk on. I mean, it's like, it sounds so simple, but like you know, you take your mobility for granted for sure.
Well, hopefully the time off gives you the time you need to recuperate and maybe work on choreographing some more musicals with your sister because we want to see those on YouTube soon. And that it gives you the mental space that you need to really focus on your new goal of commentating.
Yeah, I hope so too. Thank you.
Great. Well, we're sad we won't see you again on Ninja Warrior this year, but it sounds like we'll have many opportunities to track down your on-camera work in the near future.
Most definitely.
Great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today, Megan. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Thank you for listening. The American Ninja Warrior podcast will be back next week with a look at the Baltimore City Finals. We're speeding right along towards Las Vegas. See you then.